Hello, and thank you for downloading our history podcast, Witness. I'm Louise Hidalgo, and today I'm taking you back to September 1982, to what's considered one of the worst atrocities of Lebanon's long civil war. On the 16th of September, Lebanese Christian militiamen entered Sabra and Shatila refugee camp in Beirut, and over the course of 3 days killed and raped hundreds of its Palestinian inhabitants. I've been hearing one person's account of what happened. Dr. Sui Yang was working in the hospital in Sabra and Shatila during those days.
In the devastated camps, in side streets, in houses, in backyards, men, women, children, and mothers holding babies in their arms lay sprawled in the grotesque attitudes of death.
I tried to identify my friends among the heaps of dead bodies. Do I know this one? Do I know this one? But, you know, they were all piles of corpses literally lying on top of each other.
It was a Thursday when militiamen of the Lebanese Christian group, the Falangists, entered the Shatila Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut and Sabra's surrounding streets. When they left, on the Saturday morning, at least 800, maybe as many as 2,000 Palestinians were dead, their houses bulldozed. An Israeli investigation later found Israel, whose tanks controlled that part of Beirut, and its Minister of Defence, Ariel Sharon, indirectly responsible for allowing the militiamen in.
Ultimately, I'm their voice, and I must continue to speak up for them, because those people buried under the rubble and in mass grave can't speak. Those people who are alive have their lives all broken.
Dr. Sui Yang is an orthopaedic surgeon, originally from Singapore, who moved to Britain in 1977. There, moved by images of the civil war in Lebanon, Sui volunteered to go to help.
I grew up a very staunch fundamentalist Christian, and I've always been supporting Israel. In 1982, I was working in St. Thomas's Hospital in London, and I went home and saw on the television aerial bombardment of Beirut and Lebanon, and I just couldn't square it with my religious upbringing. So when Christian Aid sent round an appeal asking for an orthopaedic surgeon to go and treat the wounded people, I just thought I should respond.
For 10 weeks during that summer of 1982, the Israelis had been laying siege to West Beirut, where the Palestine Liberation Organization, the PLO, was based. The PLO had been attacking northern Israel from inside Lebanon for several years. The Israelis invaded southern Lebanon, but that summer there was an attempt on the life of Israel's ambassador to London. Israel had had enough, besieging Beirut and stopping only when the PLO finally agreed to leave Lebanon. It was during the lull in fighting that followed that US-mediated deal that Sui arrived in Beirut.
My understanding of the situation, because I was brought up with a lot of friends who are pro-Israel, was that the PLO was the cause of all the trouble. And once they evacuate, there'll be peace in Lebanon, and the civilians and people who are not involved in the fighting between the PLO and Israel would have some form of life, and they can return to rebuild their broken homes and broken lives.
Sui was sent to work in the Gaza hospital, which had been built by the PLO inside Sabra and Shatila. She recalls a sense of hope during her first few weeks in the city. Maybe, finally, the war was at an end.
Because for the first time, so many countries in the West have actually said that we got to solve this problem and we got to safeguard the refugees. And meanwhile, the Lebanese government said, enough, we don't want any more arms all over the place, so we have to disarm all the militia. And this is not only Palestinians alone, these were Lebanese as well. You know, mothers were taking the guns from their sons and dumping it at designated places. And the people who were in hiding because their homes were completely bombed out has actually come back to rebuild their homes.
But the peace was short-lived. Multinational peacekeepers sent to oversee the PLO's evacuation left just over a week after the PLO did. 4 days later, on the 14th of September, the Lebanese president-elect, Israel's ally, the Christian Maronite leader Bashir Gemayel, was assassinated.
There were rumours going round that the Palestinians had done this. And the next morning at about 5 a.m., we were woken up by Israeli airplanes flying in.
Israeli jets swooped back over West Beirut for the first time in more than a month, but this time they did not drop bombs or fire rockets. The Israelis consider themselves the only force for stability in this country now that Gemayel is dead.
That same morning, Sui went straight to Gaza Hospital, where she was joined by the other 20 or so foreigners working there and Palestinian and Lebanese staff. Later that day, the explosions began.
I thought this was bombing, but actually it wasn't. It was tank shelling. Tanks were coming northwards into Beirut City, and a contingent came for Sabra and Shatila. So by nightfall, the shelling became so close, and then we knew that we were surrounded by Israeli tanks.
The next day, the 16th, casualties started arriving.
Mainly women.
With what kind of wounds?
Machine gun wound. High velocity machine gun wound. And women were shot through the jaw, through the head, through the elbow, through the leg. And those who survived actually told me that they just got up as usual, 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. to collect water, and sniper were killing them or shooting at them. By afternoon, gunmen has gone into people's homes and shot up families.
And who did people say was doing this?
They say strange gunmen has broken into their homes. Some of the nurses, Palestinian nurses, spoke English. I said, look, you must ask them, are these Israelis or not? And they said, no.
These were Lebanese Christian militiamen bent on revenge for the death of their leader, Bashir Jamal. Sui and a Norwegian doctor were the only surgeons in the hospital. They operated in the basement through the night.
But that time we had more refugees in the hospital sitting all over the place on the staircase and so on. We were inundated with a big backlog of people who are needing surgery, and we ran out of blood by that time.
By the morning of the 17th, 2,000 people were sheltering in the hospital. They'd run out of food as well as blood. The head nurse went to get help, but returned saying that militiamen had entered another hospital just outside Sabra and Shatila and killed staff and patients. There were even stories of nurses being raped. Everyone must leave. Some of the staff did go, but Sui and the other foreigners stayed. That night was quieter. Early the next morning, the 18th, militiamen came to Gaza Hospital.
And an officer spoke very loudly and said, everybody who is a foreigner, come out. Then he said, doctor, don't be afraid. We are Lebanese. It's all with machine guns, so it's not negotiable. So we walked all along the main road of the camp. And this was the first time I came out of the basement and we saw women, children, people rounded in groups by soldiers on the side of the camp. And I said, oh my God. Are they going to gun all these people down? And as we were walking along, one of the women recognized me and tried to give me her baby. And from the look in her eyes, I knew that she thought she's going to be killed and I should take her baby. And the soldiers didn't allow it. Then we were pushed along the road, and that's the time when I looked into the alleys. I saw dead bodies. At one stage, there was a dead man right in the middle of a path. And the soldier next to me, or the militia next to me, pushed so hard, almost tripped over him. And I tried to look in his face because I thought I might know him. And I saw that they've dug his eyes out.
Sui and her fellow doctors were only released after an Israeli general who was passing outside the camp intervened and took them to Israeli headquarters. As news of the massacre spread, there was outrage and huge protests in Europe and in Israel. It took days to count the bodies. All these years on, the number of dead is still disputed. No one has faced trial for what happened at Sabra and Shatila. Dr. Suiang still works as an orthopaedic surgeon in London. After Sabra and Shatila, she and her husband set up a medical charity for the people of the camp. She was talking to me, Louise Hidalgo, for Witness. And all our Witness programmes are available as podcasts. Just search for BBC Witness or download the app. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.